psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, the voice you trust for the family you love.
That's when I find myself praying, Lord Jesus, I don't have the strength, but you do.
Show me the tooth you're going to lose. That one right there. All right, I tell you what, can I pull it?
No.
That's a statement in which we reaffirm our commitment to the three fundamental moral issues, life, marriage, and liberty.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
You know, Dad and Luann, I think it's a complete understatement to say that a lot of what's happening in our nation is disconcerting to many of our listeners out there.
Well, Ryan, it is to me. I mean, I know in our house, when Steve and I get around that dinner table with our three boys, almost always the topic of conversation is something that's come up on the news or that we've read during the day that's pretty absurd and really is attacking what we believe. And Dr. Dobson, like Ryan said, I think we speak for many that we're pretty overwhelmed with all of these attacks so that we end up doing absolutely nothing because there's so much to confront.
If I can elaborate on that, Luann and Ryan, there is a tendency now for all of us to become overwhelmed by the disturbing things that are happening around us. Every day or two, it seems, I find myself reacting to Congress or the media or the courts or to the White House or the entertainment industry or the local school board or the public library. You know, it goes on and on. And in turn, they take another shot at the Judeo-Christian system of values. And it assaults the things that we believe passionately. Our children are in the crosshairs often, and the very institution of marriage is being battered by activists who want to redefine it and render it weaker and less effective, and on it goes. And like you said, Luann, for those of us who are trying to defend our families and our churches, we can eventually become so overwhelmed by it all that we throw up our hands in discouragement and depression, and we experience something that I call protest fatigue. That's my word, but I think people know what I mean. You get to the point where you're just exhausted from fighting to defend the things that matter to you.
So you do nothing.
That's the problem. That's the danger, is that I fear more and more people are coming to that point. So I encourage our listeners to buck up, go to our knees in prayer, and ask the Lord for wisdom in knowing which battles to fight, because you can't fight them all. Yeah. Not even in a war can you fight on every front. You have to decide the contribution that you can make. But at least let your voices be heard in the arenas that matter to you most. Now, we were talking about that last time with Kelly Shackelford. He is the founder and president of the Liberty Institute, which is a nonprofit organization that's dedicated to protecting freedoms and strengthening families. He is a constitutional attorney who has argued cases before the United States Supreme Court. Kelly, you were with us yesterday to address some of those vitally important issues I just talked about. And we have a lot more that we want to put on your plate today. So welcome back.
Oh, thanks. It's really a privilege to be here.
For those that didn't hear our program last time, summarize for us, if you will, what you told us about a monument in the Mojave Desert that has become the subject of such controversy.
A memorial that was put up in 1934 in the middle of 1.6 million acres of desert by World War I veterans. These are veterans who had come back from World War I and wanted to do something to remember those who had spilled their blood and given the ultimate sacrifice for our country. They put up a lone cross with a little plaque that said, "For the dead of all wars."
Made out of wood.
Made out of wood. And it sat there for 76 years. But the ACLU filed a lawsuit to have it torn down because it's on a federal preserve now. And a judge actually ruled that it be torn down. And some people have come forward to try to protect it, but we have been in an all-out war with the ACLU over this, trying to tear down this veterans memorial. The good news is we finally got to the Supreme Court, got a reversal of all these decisions to tear it down, but it's only a partial reversal. They said, "We reverse, your analysis was wrong, so we're telling you to redo your opinion." So now we're going all the way back down and starting all over again to try to make sure and communicate that this is not acceptable. They cannot tear down a veterans memorial.
And the reason they want it torn down, quite simply, is the offense of the cross.
Absolutely.
It is the Christian symbol and the implications of that.
Is it not ironic that the memorial to these men and women is the very reason the ACLU can do what they're doing?
Yes.
They're tearing down the reason that they get to file this stupid lawsuit.
And they're doing it in schools. They're doing it throughout government, throughout the country. Luann, I said at the end of the program last time that I regretted that we didn't really give you a chance to express your views as a mother, as a woman,
as an American citizen.
As an American citizen, yeah.
Yes. I am one proud American. I mean, where we live here in Colorado Springs, our house is about a mile from the Air Force Academy. And I tell you, I get choked up on graduation day when those Thunderbirds fly over my house. My family and I went up there to the Academy for 4th of July to watch the fireworks, and it was so moving. I mean, the Air Force Band was playing the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and when you listen to those lyrics, I mean, that's the gospel message. Yeah. So here I am with my family celebrating these freedoms, and I'm looking at my boys down there on the field playing Frisbee, and I'm thinking, will they be able to participate in something like this with their kids?
Well, you know, I think it reminds us our freedom isn't free. Mm-hmm. There are people who pay a price for that freedom. And while I think our, you know, the soldiers have done that for us and are doing it for us right now, I think it's not free in that we can't sit on our own rear end in this country and watch our freedoms being taken away.
Well, and we've kind of done that. I mean, I apologize even for my generation. It's been easy to sit on the laurels of our grandparents, Ryan, as you mentioned last time.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you look at, for instance, even take a look at the statistics for those who are biblical Christians who are even registered to vote. Take the ones who are vote, you know, about 50%. And take of those who are registered, how many vote in the major elections? About 50%. Mm. And you look at why you lose freedoms, it's because we're not participating. That's right. Those who know the truth are not standing in the gap. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think Christians tend to think, you know, sort of a meek silence is a Christian response. And silence in the face of evil has never been a Christian response. I mean, the whole Christianity engages everything. Mm-hmm. It does it with love and with grace. But, you know, it's not standing or standing on the sidelines has never been an option. And so we have a responsibility, and it really is a privilege to represent and to preserve what people gave their lives for and gave us as a gift, what the Lord gave us as a gift, our freedom, our religious freedom, our free speech, you know, the kinds of freedoms we have in the church and all over our country right now that are slowly being pulled away. And maybe even quickly being pulled away.
And what makes this particular case and the cross that's involved so significant is that freedom of religion is the basis, it's the foundation for all our freedoms. As we were saying last time, it's written in the Declaration of Independence, which makes it clear that all our freedoms come from where? They come from the Creator. If you take God out of the picture, then all the other freedoms collapse. Because if men give you your freedom, if men can give you rights, if the government can allow you to think and act as you wish, then government can also take those freedoms away. It's only when they come from the Creator are they established in law.
You nailed it right on the head. I mean, look at the I'm just thinking of the challenges that we've been involved with. Not only this Mojave Desert Cross case, which is going all the way to the Supreme Court, whether we're going to tear down a veterans memorial because it's a cross. But in the last couple of months alone, we've had to argue to defend the Pledge of Allegiance, the words under God. Okay. We've had to file a brief. In fact, Dr. Dobson on the brief defending the National Day of Prayer.
That's right.
And so why are these things under attack? Why would they care that under God? And it goes to the very point, Dr. Dobson, that you're talking about.
I want to thank you for filing that amicus brief in the National Day of Prayer case. As you can imagine, my wife has a stake in that one. And it was declared unconstitutional by a judge in Wisconsin. And, it was in violation of everything that has happened related to prayer for the last 230 years, and yet she simply said all of that is contrary to the Constitution.
Well, and it's just an incredible attempt to revise the history of who we are as a country. I mean, that, the irony of this is, here she says, declaring a national day of prayer is unconstitutional. Well, the founders of our country, the very day, within moments of passing the Constitution and the First Amendment, that what's the first thing they did? They passed a declaration, a proclamation for thanksgiving and prayer. So the idea that our founders, who crafted the Constitution and crafted a day of thanksgiving and prayer, you know, would say that that's unconstitutional is ridiculous. There are folks that really, the secularists who want to really destroy religious freedom, will say you can have religious freedom in your home and in your church, but don't bring it out in public.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Christianity, the whole point of Christianity is engaging everything. It, you take the light to the darkness, and the idea of not engaging is not an option.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Salt and light. I mean, there's so many that's not an option. So this is just a way to shut down religious freedom. You know, there's a group, actually, that filed this lawsuit on the issue of the National Day of Prayer. The name of the group is Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Yeah. Hmm.
But there's no such thing as freedom from religion. There's no such thing as freedom from speech. If you have freedom from speech, there is no free speech. Yeah. If you have freedom from religion, there is no free exercise of religion. It's a way to sort of try to have the government shut down religious freedom. Wow. So that's what this is really about. And think of the cases we're talking about. We're talking about, let's get rid of all religious displays around the country. Let's start even. We're so intolerant that we're going to tear down a veterans memorial that's been up since 1934 because it's in the shape of a cross. And then let's go and let's stop even the government saying today is a day voluntarily where people who want to can pray. You see how extreme we're getting? And this, things that we never thought we would have to fight for, we're now having to fight for. And I think it's because we've taken these things for granted.
Yeah.
We've let them slip. We haven't been good stewards. And it really, it's we're being called to account now to stand up for these things in a loving and Christ-like way, but to stand.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, let's turn a corner and talk about another case that's of great concern to us, having to do with the definition of marriage. And a judge in Massachusetts who has now declared the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional. You're involved in concerned about that one too, aren't you?
Absolutely. It should concern anybody who cares about marriage. While it's a federal judge, it's a federal case, while it's only one federal district court, the rationale is so frightening because if this goes up and if this rationale is followed, it will literally affect the whole country. What happened is Defense of Marriage course put a definition in federal law that said marriage is a man and a woman under all of our federal laws, over 1,000 laws. Pretty simple. That was declared, and this, I kid you not, I mean, people have a hard time believing this. The judge said that there is no rational basis that can be given for confining marriage to a man and a woman. That, in fact, it is irrational prejudice and can never serve as a proper government interest.
Now, that there were four components of the defense of marriage from a legal perspective. Describe them real quickly.
The Congress was very specific. They said, here are the reasons why we're putting this definition in. They said, number one, because traditional marriage is supported of procreation and child rearing. We want every child to have a mom and a dad. We think that men and women procreate, and therefore these are good things. Second, we're defending traditional marriage. Third, we're defending traditional morality. And fourth, we're prescribing or making sure that, you know, look, we have scarce resources. If we just let marriage mean whatever people want it to mean, then every federal program now will have people
That's right.
getting all kinds of different benefits. And so the Congress thoughtfully gave rationale and reasons why they passed the statute.
I think I saw this morning that 426 members of Congress voted for the Defense of Marriage Act out of 535. And President Clinton signed it. And yet you got this judge saying it's unconstitutional.
Well, absolutely. And here's one of the really strange things about it is the Justice Department, and this started under, at that time, Solicitor General Elena Kagan, decided that they would disavow Congress's rationale and reasons for the statute, which is unheard of. I mean, the idea that your attorney would go into court and say, I disavow everything my client just said and the rationale for them. I've got an extra reason, which is really weak, and I'm just going to present that one. That's what they did. It was incredibly disrespectful of the separation of powers, of their duty to defend what Congress passes, because it's their job to make the law.
As a layman, let me see if I can put that into other words. Elena Kagan, we all know that name, was the person responsible for telling the attorneys under her that they could not use as an argument the provisions that caused the Congress to pass this Defense of Marriage Act. Boy, I fumbled through that, but I'm getting at it, right?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, I can read you a quote from the court. The government, talking about the attorneys, has disavowed Congress's stated justifications. So they.
I like my answer.
Yeah, well, yours is much more easy to understand.
It's still so shocking disavow the thing Congress stated. This is why we've made this law, and for someone to say, "Yeah, but we don't like that. We're not going to use
and
it."
And it's on that basis that we lost.
Yes.
And let me make clear the reason for this decision was that because this is irrational. It serves no rational basis. This violates equal protection, and therefore now this is equal protection in the federal Constitution. And therefore, their constitutional rights were violated. Now, think about that. If marriage between a man and a woman, and any laws that say marriage is a man and a woman, is irrational and violates equal protection, then this would overrule, if it got high enough, every marriage law, every state constitutional amendment on marriage in the country. It would trump everything because it would say all these marriage laws are irrational and therefore equal protection trumps. You cannot restrict marriage to a man and a woman. A lot of us were looking to California thinking that case was the first one coming up.
The Ninth Circuit case.
And instead, this is the first one. And now we've got this over in the First Circuit and the Ninth Circuit case where they're challenging the vote of the people of California there. And what's going to happen is these are going to go up to the Supreme Court. And there's a huge attempt going on right now to literally take away all of our rights across the country from even deciding what marriage is in our own states.
Kelly, check me on my understanding here. There have been 30 states that have voted on the definition of marriage. 30 states, all 30 of them, have defined marriage as being exclusively between one man and one woman. One of those states was Texas, and you were there working on that case. 30 states where the people of the United States have said marriage is this. It is exclusively between one man and one woman. DOMA is designed to protect those decisions.
Yes.
The Defense of Marriage Act. And without it, all of those 30 constitutions in that regard will be null and void. Is that correct?
That's right. Without DOMA, or if this rationale that says equal protection under the U.S. Constitution is violated by these laws, if it's not just a federal district court but goes up higher, then it would be precedent across, first its district of the different states, and then ultimately at the Supreme Court, the whole country. And that's where they want to go. They want to take this as a court, to the Supreme Court, and say, marriage violates equal protection. You're not treating us the same. We're two men. We should get married. Or we're two women. We should get married. And if it violates equal protection, then all that effort in all the states will be struck down.
Now explain how the Commerce Clause of the Constitution figures into this.
Well, they won't even need it. The old approach from the homosexual rights activists was to go into one state to change the definition of marriage and then to have people fly there, move there, get married, come back to your state and say under the Commerce Clause you've got to accept my definition of marriage that I brought from another state.
Right.
Because that clause says you have to honor the decisions of other states.
They've decided evidently that's not enough. So what they want to do is go to the Supreme Court and have the Supreme Court tell you You can't, none of you states can have a definition of marriage that says man and a woman, because that violates equal protection. Mm. We are now trumping every state. The Supreme Court is now taking over all of your legislators, essentially, and we are saying marriage is no longer a man and a woman by edict from the Supreme Court. That is what they're doing. This is step one. And California is also a part of step one, and these are on their way to the Supreme Court.
Now, the Supreme Court is made up of 9 people, and as it's now constituted, you have a divided court. You have 4 who tend to be rather conservative and 4 who are very liberal, and then Justice Kennedy is the swing vote. He has already demonstrated that his sympathies are with the homosexual community on these issues. So, I mean, apart from divine intervention, marriage is gone as we've known it.
We really need to be in prayer. We really need – now, this is at the district court, this opinion we talked about. So it's still got to go to the Court of Appeals and then the Supreme Court. But we've got to pray. And it shows you that elections have a lot of consequences that we don't think about. For instance, as we talked about earlier, when we elected President Obama, we also got Solicitor General Kagan, and we got this legal approach that they took to this lawsuit defending DOMA. And as they sort of took a fall – all of a sudden now we've got this big ruling that's working its way up to destroy marriage nationwide, and it really does go back somewhat to the election results. And so that tells you that you can change some of that in the future too by other elections. If we were to really get into our representatives how important it is to save marriage, we could see a reaction the other way before this thing gets decided. You never know.
Well, speaking of elections, here we are in late July, and I know a lot of states require that you're registered well before the actual election day. So really, the window of motivating people and mobilizing them is the next several weeks here. I mean, to get people registered so that they're equipped to vote in November.
Absolutely. I mean, people need to be registered. I mean, part of being a believer is to represent Christ in every area of society, in media, in the courts, and in the voting booth. It's a privilege. And any of us who aren't even signed up to fulfill our stewardship responsibility and really our privilege need to do that. It's really simple. You go to the post office, you get a little postcard, and you fill it out. And I mean, it takes nothing to do it. And then we need to be informed and go in there and vote and make a difference and stand for what you know is right. One of the things, the most quoted verses of our founders was the idea that when the righteous rule, the people rejoice, and when the wicked rule, the people groan. It was the idea that we actually got to make that choice. Yeah. It was so unique that we got to pick whether our policies and our leaders reflected righteousness or something different than that. And we've been given that power, and it's a privilege. So I just encourage people to definitely do that.
I want to leave our listeners and you, Kelly, with a memory of mine. I'm sure that you will recall it too. We tried several years ago to pass the Federal Marriage Amendment and then the Marriage Protection Amendment. And so on two occasions, we had a shot. We had a chance to protect marriage. And I will never forget that many of those members of the Senate and members of the House as well, when pressed to vote for one of those two amendments, said as an excuse, I've got their names, I would like to expose them sometime. They said it isn't needed. There's no threat to marriage. Do you remember that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And here we are. We've virtually lost it.
It's the same thing that was said in all the states. The most common rebuke when people in the states said, we want to make sure we put marriage in our Constitution, the most common rebuke was, this is not necessary. And I've got to tell you, in every state who passed one of these, it was necessary. Within months, if not days, there were lawsuits coming to try to change it. And if it wasn't for those constitutional amendments, they were in big trouble. That's exactly what happened on the federal level. We knew we had to get it done ahead of time. We missed that chance. I hope there's another chance. I hope there's another reaction in the country. But if not, we're in a clear battle right now nationwide over marriage and defending the first institution in Scripture that God created.
And what we know is that marriage is on the ropes. And our listeners need to be praying. We're out of time, Kelly. Thank you for what you do. It's been so enlightening talking to you. come back, won't you?
I'd love to do it, and it's a privilege to be on your show, Dr. Dobson.
And you're under the gun. You've got a lot of people who are mad at you and a lot of pressure on you. What they love to do with people who are fighting for the things we believe is marginalize them and undermine their authority. They're going to do that to you. They have already done it to you. They've done it to me. Our prayers are with you, my friend.
Thank you very, very much. And thank you, Luann. Thank you, Ryan. It's been a real privilege.
Mm-hmm. I have so enjoyed our conversation today, and I think a lot of our listeners are motivated to take some action on what they've heard today.
Well, I know I am, Ryan, and we have so many resources available. Links at myfamilytalk.com to articles on the issues that we've heard today, including some really stunning photos and a great video on the Mojave Desert Cross mm-hmm. Memorial. I know it really helped me visualize what this whole conversation was about. I highly recommend that.
Yeah, along with information about how to get registered to vote, which we cannot stress enough how important that is. Or if you'd prefer to give us a call and find out how, our number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. Have a great weekend and be with us again on Monday.